This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every Splash Refresher flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and zero calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash and I like it.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade.
My favorite is the mandarin orange flavor.
There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. Hello and welcome to Childproof from Betches Media. I'm Tori Phantom.
And I'm Gwenna Lathland. This episode is dedicated to all of you who have been with us since the very first episode almost a year ago.
And to those folks who just found us and have been binging our voices for the last 3 hours. Thanks. We love all of you no matter how long you've been hanging out with us. But also, how could you listen to our voices for 3 hours?
I would listen to your voice for 3 hours, Tori. Was that creepy? Nice. That felt creepy.
It felt really weird. I wasn't sure if that was like a compliment or like a threat.
It's like a threat.
Yeah. All right.
Today we're doing an email roundup. We do have an email, childproof@betches.com, and we love when you email us comments, stories, topics to discuss.
So we found a bunch of topics to discuss. So let's get to that, but start the timer first.
Our first email comes from SW. Obviously, we know your name, but for your privacy and protection, we're just going to use your initials. They say, I just need to vent for a minute. I love my kids more than anything. It's been 2 weeks now of them acting like wild animals, literally trying to climb the walls, doing stuff they know is wrong, fighting, fussing, smartass remarks. I thought this would happen as a teenager, not 3.5, 4. But here we are. I'm trying to keep my sanity. It's just slowly slipping. They are fine for teachers and grandparents, but as soon as I walk through the door, it's like that part in Barnyard where they let this thing out of the box.
So I'd like to start here by saying, how do they actually really just try to climb the walls? Like, that's a thing. If you're not a parent, you would think that that was just like a, like being hyperbolic. Like
it's a hyperbole.
They literally try to climb the walls.
Yes.
Yeah. Why do they do that? I don't know. That's SW. We feel you.
Absolutely.
That is so normal and difficult. And it changes the way that it shows up as the chaos. But yeah. I don't know if anyone's told you this, but it's actually a pretty good sign that you're doing something right if they're good for everybody else and they turn into chaos goblins at home. That's just kind of what happens when they feel safe enough to let it out. And you're safe enough for them to let it out with.
Professionally, they'll refer to it as post-restraint collapse, which means all day they have been minding their P's and Q's. They have been wrangling their feelings. They have been monitoring their responses to their peers.
They have been doing everything you've been teaching them to do, and they've been doing it well.
And so all of that pent up chaos just sort of keeps getting put in the box and put in the box and put in the box. And what you've done, SW, what you've done is you've given them a perfectly safe place to let that box open so they don't have to keep cramming the next day and the next day and the next day because it's not safe for them to feel. You gave them the best gift a parent can give them, and that is safety to be themselves, even when themselves are being shits.
Yes. And you also do deserve some peace.
Yeah.
So I have some strategies that work for me, and maybe they'll work for you, maybe they won't, but I think that's really when your kids are turning into chaos goblins, which seems to happen with spring, you know, like the time changes and then they like, it's like feeding a gremlin after midnight.
Well, it's because our system doesn't go sleep until 10:30 at night when the sun finally goes down.
Yeah, exactly. And so what I have done is I've come up with strategies, especially like for after school or after we go and do activities that are kind of big energy or where we have to maybe be quiet, whatever. When I know that we are transitioning back to the home environment where things might get out of control, I have strategies. And for after school, this is kid specific. One of my kids needs to tell me in detail every single thing that she did, she saw, she talked, she spoke to her friend, every piece of middle school tea. She's heard I am now going to hear it all. Yeah. And I enjoy it. But, you know, that's good for her to get it out. She wants to share that with me. One of my kids, don't look at her for 30 minutes after she gets home. She needs time to decompress.
That is my oldest. My oldest immediately, it doesn't matter what she's been out doing. If it's been longer than a half hour that she was required to be outside the house, she will beeline to her room and I won't see her for an hour. And it used to really concern me, but then I realized, nope, it's safer for all parties involved to just let her have the hour.
Yeah, it's decompression time. And that's something like even me, I call it like a social hangover. If mm-hmm. I have to be social, if I'm going out and doing things, I need like the next day to just stay home. like I need time to decompress. And yeah. You know, if I go out, I don't like to leave the house after 8 p.m. because I know no matter how long I'm out, when I get home, no matter what time it is, I can't go to bed for an hour because I need just an hour to just sit in silence.
I need an hour for the gummy to kick in. But yeah, no, same thing.
But so one of my kids, just she needs time to herself to mm-hmm. decompress and let that go for her day. Because while her climbing up the walls, if she doesn't have that time, can very easily turn into a whole meltdown. Like she mm-hmm. needs it. And then my other kiddo, she just kind of go with the flow type. I don't understand that. It's admirable. It's inspiring. Yeah. I don't get it. But these are strategies we have. So if we have big energy though, so say it's just we're all home and everyone's kind of going crazy, we need things that can get out energy. And yeah. if I don't want to go to the playground or if it's bad weather outside, whatever, we have games like The Floor is Lava. We have Twister. We put on videos to dance along with. There are so many solutions because a lot of the time it's about controlling where that energy is going. Yeah. It's not about stopping the energy. It's about controlling the chaos. Mm-hmm. And that's another thing that my kids hear from me. I have something I call chaos levels.
Yeah.
And chaos levels is a indication to them to bring it down a notch. And so mm-hmm. if they are going crazy climbing the walls, I will say, I need the chaos level to go below a 6. Yeah. We don't need to be calm, but we need to be less than we are right now because this is getting out of control. Chaos levels are lower. And sometimes, you know, we'll be doing stuff and I'm like, I can tolerate a chaos level 7 right now. We mm-hmm. got 30 minutes of chaos. And because of that, it kind of helps move the energy.
Yeah.
And when I need the chaos level lower, right? Because you get overstimulated as a parent just because mm-hmm. you know they're letting it out because they feel safe doesn't mean that you feel good about it. Like yeah. your feelings matter too. And so I have voice volume levels. So like mm-hmm. I need our library voices right now.
Yeah.
I need our school cafeteria voices, right? Because it can get loud in there, but you're not supposed to go over a certain volume. Like why are we all yelling? We're standing next to each other.
We also do a wiggle empty when it's time to come back down. Once we've had that decompression, like we've come home, we've either had our break or we've had our eruption time. We have eruption times where just you go in and go ham on those Barbies or those cars, whatever. Whatever you
need levels.
To do. Yep. You got 30 minutes to do what you want to do, which my littles don't currently need that because they want food. But also, feeding them sometimes helps
feeding
with that
them,
post-restraint.
Yes. Oh my gosh. One of mine recently, that's been the thing when she gets all elevated and I'm like, are you hungry? And she's
do you need
like,
food?
Maybe I am.
I yeah, feel like you need food. This is hangry.
Here's yeah. a snack.
but we'll do, and granted, I've got fives, but I still do a version of this with my teenager. It's just a lot less. Now it's more of like a, do you need the wiggles? Have you got a case of the wiggles? And she'd be like, yes. And then she's got to get up and move because she's been still too long. But for the littles, all right, let's do a wiggle dump. All right, start with your toes. Are there any wiggles in there? It doesn't look like there's any wiggles in your ankles. And then we just go up through. And then finally, they're flailing and flopping and screaming and giggling. All right, you got all those wiggles out? Cool, cool, cool. Let's turn your listening ears on. And they'll reach up and turn a little magic dial. All right, let's shut down that voice, zip it up. And yeah, it feels yeah. like I'm running a preschool class for just two every time I have to do this little
thing. It's like, it doesn't matter how many kids you have. It often just feels like there's 17 of them. And that's, we don't do the wiggles, but we will do like random exercises. Like, mm-hmm. let's go run some laps, kids. Let's do some jumping jacks, some sit-ups. But I like to exercise, so it's like a fun thing for us. You know, it's really just about finding the strategies that are going to work to control your version of chaos.
So SW, you are not alone. You are not odd. It is not weird. It is an age-appropriate behavior, and finding those strategies is going to make a world of difference of how you perceive your kid having a really good parent. Do you ever feel like money is just flying out of your account and you have no idea where it's going? Well, I know. It's all those subscriptions. Think about it. Between streaming services, fitness apps, delivery services, parenting apps, it's endless. I'm guilty of this. So I used Rocket Money to help me find out what subscriptions I'm actually spending money on. It was eye-opening, horrifying, and I had them cancel the ones I didn't want.
Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. With Rocket Money, I have full control over my subscriptions and a clear view of my expenses. I love how the dashboard shows me this month's spending compared to last month, so I can clearly see my spending habits. Plus, they'll help me create a custom budget and keep my spending on track.
I can see all of my subscriptions in one place. And if I see something I don't want, Rocket Money can help me cancel it with just a few taps. Rocket Money will even try to negotiate to lower your bills for you by up to 20%. All you have to do is submit a picture of your bill and Rocket Money takes care of the rest. They'll deal with customer service for you.
Rocket Money has over 5 million users and has saved a total of $500 million in canceled subscriptions, saving members up to $740 a year when using all of the app's features. Stop wasting money on things you don't use. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/childproof. That's rocketmoney.com/childproof.
rocketmoney.com/childproof. Do you have scents that you like that are just odd? Like, I enjoy the scent of sunscreen. Sunscreen makes me think of those really awesome summers when I was little and my mom said I could go play in the sprinkler. And I just discovered a product that smells like sunscreen, but better. It doesn't have that chemically scent. It smells citrusy and bright, and it's made with seaweed. It's the lotion and body oil from Osea. Osea's Undaria Algae Body Oil has a bright and familiar tropical citrusy scent. It's like your dream beach vacation in a bottle.
But it's not just about the daydream evoking scent. This rich, never greasy body oil is clinically proven to instantly improve skin elasticity and deeply moisturize, leaving skin silky and soft.
It delivers that coveted post-vacation glow like you just returned from a tropical getaway. This absorbs so cleanly, smells so amazing, and it's made with really clean, sustainable, cruelty-free, climate-neutral certified ingredients. I love that. Get healthy, glowing skin for summer with clean, vegan skin and body care from Osea. Get 10% off your first order site-wide with code CHILDPROOF at oseamalibu.com. You'll get free samples with every order and free shipping on orders over $60.
Head to oseamalibu.com and use code CHILDPROOF for 10% off. And this next email we have comes from JB. And JB says, I love you both so damn much. We love you too, JB. Your podcast has been the relatable voice of reason and validation recently for me. I'm finally caught up on all episodes, and I'm hoping you could do an episode on navigating divorce with littles. Sounds like you both went through divorces. I think with littles about the same age as mine. I'm currently going through a super high conflict divorce with an alcoholic. Our kiddos are 1 and 3 years old. How do I help them navigate this? Thanks for reading and for the podcast. You're really helping me feel like I'm not alone and that I'm always doing a better job than I think I am.
Okay, so the first and automatic response that we will always give, not flippantly, not dismissively, is counseling and therapy, especially for you, JB. Your kids, if you can find a family therapist, especially one who engages in play therapy, which is great for that smaller age, that's fantastic. But first and foremost, therapy, especially for you, therapy or counseling, the realistic answer is your kids at 1 and 3 are not going to care about the divorce itself. You will. You are considering how this is going to impact them as they age, how it's going to impact them now. Like, there's a lot of transitions happening, and that's a very valid thing to worry about. But as far as your actual divorce, your kids at 1 and 3 are never going to retain, not truly retain, memories of when mommy and daddy, or mommy and mommy, daddy and daddy, of when their biological parents lived together. They just, that's not logged for them. They're never going to know that as a part of their reality.
As my eldest once asked me where my partner was when she was a baby, because she had assumed that her biological father and me and Jim must have all somehow been
all together
somehow, because she doesn't remember anything before that, right?
Yeah.
That both of her dads have always been in her life in the way she remembers it.
My ex stayed in the house that we had lived in for another year after, and I separated from him when Abby was two. Mm-hmm. So Abby still has snippets of what she calls the brown house. She has just aspects of that house from like a holiday and a birthday. And one time she was about seven and she was telling me something about the brown house. And I said, oh, was that upstairs at so-and-so's place? You know, just a specific location in the house. And she goes, how did you know that house had stairs? Babe, I lived in it for 5 years. You never lived in the brown house. I did. I
promise you.
I did live in the brown house. You just don't remember that I lived in the brown house.
What do I have to gain from lying about this, child? But that's really the thing, is that your kids can't understand what divorce is. Now, at those ages, especially three, they're going to notice that routines have changed, family structure has changed.
Yeah.
But the idea of divorce, do they even understand married at that age? You know, they it's just the people in their lives. And so it is of the utmost importance that you do take care of you and your feelings. Mm-hmm. Like, you have to prioritize yourself right now, because at this age, they aren't understanding divorce. They just understand that things are changing, and having mom be as okay as possible is the best thing you can do for you and your babies. Mm-hmm. My kiddo was like a year and a half old, and I was 21 when I got divorced.
I was 23.
Yeah. And so that was like this huge transitional period in our life, right? Mm-hmm. Like, I had dropped out of college for the second time, and I had to find a job and figure out daycare, and I didn't have support. I was really in over my head. And she has no memory of this, right? Like, she doesn't remember any of this stuff because she was so young. And it was one of the hardest times in my life. And if I could go back in time to tell little 21-year-old me any advice, it would be, please take care of yourself right now. It is hard, and it's going to be hard for a while.
Yeah.
But it is going to get better. And it can be better now, not perfect, not fixed, not a solution, but it could be better if you were taking better care of you. And so that's I think the best advice is, you got to take care of you.
Yeah. Right now you're probably very much concerned about your kids' well-being, partially because it's easier to consider the impact it's having on them than it is to consider the impact it's having on you. It is scary to look at how you're actually feeling. Yeah. It's hard. There's a reason our first piece of advice, the first thing out of both of our mouths, even though I was the one who said the words, was go to counseling.
Yes. Yes. And we love therapy here. That's never like a thing to say, like, oh, you need therapy. Like, I think we all need therapy. Oh my goodness.
I will say that what I watched my daughter, especially as we sort of got used to the custody arrangement, and I don't know if your case that custody arrangements are going to come up, but for other people who are facing divorce, facing separation, and are working out co-parenting or custody arrangements with the other parent of their child, for me, it was really important that I normalized the back and forth. And I did that by having mommy and daddy versions of things. So first, it should be specified, my ex was not one of those super engaged, like, had a whole thing for her. For us, she had to travel back and forth with all of the things that she needed. She did have some clothes over there that just stayed over there, and she had clothes that came over here. But I very specifically had a special daddy jacket. And it was the jacket that she wore every time she went over to daddy's house. And then she brought it back most days. But then she had a different jacket that was for wearing the rest of the time while we were at mommy's house. And the reason I split it up is, first of all, that way, if a jacket ever didn't come back, we still had a jacket at home. And second, we could really, if you're ever sort of missing daddy, if you really are just sort of sad, you can go put on your daddy jacket because it's going to smell like his house. It's the jacket that you wear when you're around him. So it's going to make you think of him. So you can go wear your, and if she asks, can I wear the daddy jacket to school? Absolutely, kid. Absolutely. Take your daddy jacket to school. So it wasn't just a, it's only for daddy. Now, functionally, because of the discord in my relationship with my ex, was it because I knew I was never going to see that other jacket if I only had the one? Yes. But I was able to like double fashion.
But it is. It's about kind of having these, your relationship with your ex is mm-hmm. not your kid's relationship right. with your ex. Right. And it takes time to kind of figure out what that means for you and your kids and your family, because every mm-hmm. situation is different. And that was like a rule I made for myself when I, like the second that we separated, was that I would never say anything negative about the other parent to my kid, no matter how I felt. It was her place to have her relationship and mm-hmm. make her own decisions and opinions. And I didn't ever want to like step in the way of that.
Yeah.
And so it didn't matter. You know, if we had gotten in a fight, like she would never know about it. I would mm-hmm. never, because that's not, you know, and that can be,
that's not her burden to carry.
Exactly. That's when you go to counseling.
Yeah. And, but your children are not your counselors.
Yes.
You know that.
That is a thing that I think is important too during this transitional period, is to find and create new structures and new routines for that new normal for you to fall into. It's mm-hmm. very helpful, but also don't put too much pressure on it, because it's going to change again. And it's
several
probably going to change a bunch more times. Mm-hmm. There's going to be a million versions of normal as you're finding your way through this. Like the only right. way out is through, and you're going to get through it.
You cannot control what other people do. You can only control your reaction and response to those things. We've all been there. You come home after a long day of school drop-offs and work and sports practices, sink into the couch and feel too tired to do anything else. But you still need to deal with dinner, and you're just not in the mood for takeout. This is why I love Hungry Root, the easiest way to eat healthy. They send you fresh, high-quality groceries, simple recipes, and essential supplements. It's like your personal assistant for easy dinners.
I am so excited for dinner tonight because I just got my Hungry Root box and I am making sweet and spicy tofu ramen noodles. I love ramen. My kid is really obsessed with ramen right now. I think we are going to very thoroughly enjoy dinner and everything else that came in our Hungry Root box. Each Hungry Root order is fully customizable. You can choose anything you want or let them decide for you.
Take a fun short quiz and Hungry Root will get to know your personal health goals, what you like to eat, and more. Then they'll build a personalized cart with all your grocery needs for the week. Everything from Hungry Root follows a simple standard. It's got to taste good, be quick to make, and contain whole, trusted ingredients.
And right now, Hungry Root is offering childproof listeners 40% off your first delivery and free veggies for life. Just go to hungryroot.com/childproof to get 40% off your first delivery and get your free veggies.
That's hungryroot.com/childproof. Don't forget to use our link so they know we sent you. The weather's getting warmer, so it's time to stow away those jackets and sweaters and break out the shorts and tees. I wanted to update my wardrobe for the long haul without spending a fortune. Luckily, I found Quince. I've now got a lineup of timeless pieces that keep me looking effortlessly chic year after year. My favorite summer offering from Quince is their super soft, almost silky basic tees. Like, I am definitely in my basic tee era. Some cute little shorts, maybe a little lace, definitely some sparkles on the butts because I live in Oklahoma. And then just a basic tee, French tucked, and some bracelets. I look amazing. I feel comfortable, and I saved so much money getting really high quality clothing from Quince.
Quince has amazing items like premium European linen dresses, blouses, and shorts from $30, washable silk tops, timeless 14 karat gold jewelry, and so much more. And the best part is all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman by partnering directly with top factories and passes that savings on to us.
Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices and premium fabrics and finishes. I love that.
Get warm weather ready with Quince. Go to quince.com/childproof for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's quince.com/childproof to get free shipping and 365-day returns.
Quince.com/childproof. Our next one comes from SB. We had SWJBSB. Okay. Sorry. I saw patterns. I have ADHD. SB says, my husband and I are the... I forgot it opened like this. My husband and I are the parents of three fuck trophies. Two teenage boys with their own issues, and one extremely bright and persistent 10-year-old child, L. I know L's persistence will be a great asset when she becomes an adult. However, it's incredibly frustrating right now as her parents. Mood. She sees boundaries as a challenge to break and not as a stop, pause, reflect point, especially with male family members, because it's easier to cave on rounds 4 through 10 of pestering. How would you go about helping her understand that she needs to respect a safe and appropriate boundary of no? She really enjoys listening to your podcast with me in the car. You all swear like me, and she thinks it's hilarious. Thanks. Hi, Elle. We're going to talk about you for a sec. Okay, so I promise you this is going to sound unhelpful. But if your 10-year-old, which is a preteen, that's a preteen. Mm-hmm. If your preteen is struggling with respecting boundaries and knows, that is probably a sign that she needs more yes space. And I recognize that feels antithesis. She's not even respecting the boundaries we fucking put in place now. I understand, but hear me out. 10 is a really hard age where your body and brain start to mismatch for the first time in a few years. The last time that happened was the toddler years. Their brain understood a lot, but their body was slow to catch up. They had all these big thoughts and feelings inside their gray matter, but their body failed them in expressing them and explaining what it was they were after and what they needed. So there was just this disconnect between body and brain. That starts again as preteens, but this time it's opposite. Their body is off to the races with all of these hormonal and physical changes. They're growing like friggin' weeds, and sometimes not all like symmetrically. So their arms are 3 times longer than they used to be, but their legs are still short.
It's so hard to be a preteen.
it's so weird. And their brain is like, I have no idea what's going on. No clue.
Yes.
Boob. Like that's... That's what I swear it must feel like inside a preteen's brain.
Yeah. Yeah. Being a preteen is hard.
But consider this. When Elle was little and she told you, Mama, my shoes hurt my feet. That was a pretty good indication that, oh, you have outgrown your shoes. Your shoes are now too small. They're pinching. It hurts. You did not look at that child and go, okay, well, we will get you new shoes as soon as you learn not to complain that your shoes hurt. No, you just got her new shoes.
Got the new shoes.
Because she had outgrown the shoes. She has outgrown those pre-preteen boundaries. That is not to say we don't have boundaries. It's just time to reassess them. She may be ready for more freedom, for more autonomy than you thought she would be. So sometimes giving her more yes space sort of quashes that need she is feeling to constantly challenge all the no's.
The other thing that I think of in this is that the conversations surrounding boundaries, rules, expectations, consent outside of the moments where any of those things are being pushed, broken, whatever, explaining why when we're not in the moment is so important. It's those conversations that you're having in the downtime that can really enforce the boundaries, because like we don't know what boundaries Elle is pushing here. So, you know, it could be a variety of things. And I have always found that taking the time to explain why makes the biggest difference for my kids. Well, why do I have to do this? I don't want to do it. Okay, here's why it's important that you do. Or I want to do this. You can't do that. The answer is no. Why? Well, let me explain to you why. And if you don't understand, I'll explain it in a different way. But if they understand why, not just why the rule is in place, not just why the boundary is set, but why it's important, and also the impact it has if they're not respecting those things on themselves, on the family, on whomever this is impacting, and also communicating consequences. if the boundaries continue to be pushed,
yeah,
that can all be so helpful because now they have it all on board. Like a 10-year-old, they're so stinking smart. They are so smart.
Well, and here's what's cool about dealing with the 10-year-old is for potentially the first time in your parenting life with this child, I know you've got teenage boys that are older, but every child is different. That kiddo is 10. You can have these conversations about deciding these boundaries with them. Yes. If your kid comes up to you, if Elle walks up and says, "Can I have candy?" No. Why? Well, because dinner is in 15 minutes and you never do well with sugar on your tummy right before dinner. So let's have dinner and then wait and see. If you still want candy after dinner, that feels like a good time to have candy. But right now the answer is no. Here's the magical point where you have the ability to control the narrative because she's immediately going to, "Meh, I don't like that answer. That's not the one I wanted." She's probably not going to say it like that, but that's going to be the general feel. It's the vibe. All right. You can challenge her to participate in this conversation. Why do you want candy right now? Bring her into the analysis of the situation. Let her have input because here's the thing. She might come at you with a fascinating explanation that you've given her space to offer. She might have a really, really good reason why she needs candy right now. Probably not. The answer's probably going to stay no. Because I cannot think of a good reason to have candy 10 minutes before dinner. But
I mean, I can, and it's just that I like candy, but that's not really a good argument here. It's not, but wouldn't hold up.
No, I wouldn't accept that. But yeah. She may have a really, really, maybe she just learned about insulin in school. And she's like, "Well, my insulin levels are really low, and so it's going to affect my digestion." Oh, yeah. Fine, you smart bitch. Take the Laffy Taffy then.
Well, and here's the thing, too, that I really like about this point you're making is that I love asking my kids for their perspective on things, even the kids younger than 10, because if I understand where they're coming from, because a lot of times younger kids, especially, like they're going to have a very well thought out argument and it's probably really misinformed. But by hearing their perspective, I can now correct it with kindness, not tell them like, "Oh, you don't know anything. Like you're wrong. This is stupid." You know, it's, "I see how you got there. No, I can 100% connect the dots of how you got there. And here's where I think you maybe went sideways. Here's where I don't agree with you. And now we're having a conversation because as you know, if you listen to anything I say, I just talk at my kids all day, poor things. But in the same situation, it might be worth having a conversation with Elle about how she's feeling or things she might be struggling with in her own life. Because being 10 is hard. Social structures are changing. Her friends are changing. Feelings are changing. Middle school is coming up. Like there's so much change happening in your own psyche and with all of the people in your life. It's hard. It's stressful. And so are we pushing boundaries because we really just don't like hearing no, or are we pushing boundaries because we're struggling with other things and we need some attention? And attention seeking, I don't consider it a bad thing. I know attention is a need.
Yeah, we actually need attention. We need validation. I talk about self-validation all the time, but the truth is I can only self-validate so far. At some point I do need external sources to say, "You're doing a good job."
And because that's the thing, I think as a society, we really focus on independence, but as humans, as social creatures, we are interdependent.
We are a community-based
organism. Need each other. It is an interdependence. And so we need each other. But here's the thing. Attention is a human need. And kids aren't always great at communicating what they actually need. I would actually argue that they're often very not great at it. They might not even realize it. So to make that connection point of like, "Are you good? Like, what's going on?" There might be a different problem you can address that might bridge the gap of the boundary pushing.
The last thing I'll add is when I say that there's room for more yes space, there's also more room for responsibility. I maintain that with increased freedom comes increased expectation. you might get a later bedtime. Maybe now you can bring snacks into your room because you've proven that you're pretty good.
Do you want ants? That's how you get ants.
Well, I live in the South. We have food in plastic containers, but maybe that's something that you're able to grant. There's something that she's been wanting. You finally give her that freedom or that privilege. But in exchange, she now also takes more ownership of helping with the dishes, or maybe she's old enough to start scooping kitty litter, or, you know, pooper scoopering the yard if you've got pets, cleaning out the iguana cage. Maybe those are things that you can begin adding to her plate. Fine. You are 10. You are strong. You are woman L. Here you roar. Go change the kitty litter. Thanks. Like, you have those are the things in balance. For every freedom you get, you accept more responsibility. And sometimes that responsibility is directly supporting the freedom. If you take plates of snack into your room, you need to take those dishes back out of your room, rinse them, and do whatever your family process is with used dishes. Yeah. That needs to happen. Those two things go in conjunction. If you do not complete the cleaning up and the care of the freedom you have been granted, you lose that freedom for a specified amount of time. And that's one of those consequences you communicate ahead of time. Okay, Elle, you can take snacks into your room. But if I find a single plate, cup, fork, or dish in your room when it does not belong, we retract the snacks for a week. There shall be no snacks, so you can remember how cool it is to have snacks and how important it is to take care of the plates and dishes.
And those consequences being communicated clearly before we get to a point where the consequence is needed is really helpful. Though I have sometimes, I've told my kids, if this happens, you're going to have consequences. And they'll say, what is the consequence though? And it's like, well, what are you trying to do? Determine whether it's worth it?
Whether,
like,
it's worth it to violate it?
And I'm like, I don't actually know what the consequence is yet. And I don't really want to figure it out. So can we please just not do that? Thank you.
All right. Speaking of consequences for our actions, let's play wet side, dry side again.
Let's go. Hydrating doesn't have to be boring. Splash Refresher spices it up by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Splash Refreshers are delicious, bright, flavorful, and available in 5 craveable flavors. It has 0 sugar, 0 calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again.
My favorite flavor is the lemon. It really does taste like lemonade, so I'm getting hydrated, and it just feels like I'm drinking lemonade.
Splash Refresher perfectly blends refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with 0 sugar and 0 calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, wild berry, acai grape, pineapple mango, lemon, and mandarin orange, Splash Refresher is there to satisfy your need for hydration with a little flavor. There's a flavor for everyone to enjoy.
They are delicious, bright, flavorful, and hydrating, and 0 calories. So you can have fun flavored water without any guilt. Consider your hydrated self thriving.
Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart, or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger. By the time baby number 2 comes, you feel superhuman. You totally have it all figured out. You got this. But then the reality sets in. It's more than twice the work and can sometimes feel like absolute chaos. It's obviously not always going to go right, but you'll take any opportunity to make it a little easier. The Honest Company has a new line of calming products for the whole family, so your little ones will go down easier and you can have a moment of honest relaxation. The Calm Collection is a line of dreamy and calming lavender products to help make you and your baby's bedtime routine smoother. They have lavender wipes to clean up sticky hands and messes, a Calm lavender bath and body set that's both gentle enough for babies and soothing self-care for moms, lightweight lavender body oil to help wind down before bedtime, and fun purple printed pajamas made with 100% certified organic cotton. The sooner your little ones go to bed, the sooner you are able to relax. For a little while, anyway. Their Calm Lavender collection is made with lavender essential oils that help calm babies before bed, and their super absorbent overnight diapers have up to 12 hours of leak protection. With a focus on sustainability and clean products, The Honest Company works with toxicologists at their in-house lab to create eco-friendly, safe, and effective products you can feel good using. Body products are naturally derived and designed for all skin types, while their diapers are made with plant-based materials that are ultra-soft and super absorbent. Good for your whole family and your environment. Try Honest for yourself. Shop at Target, Amazon, Walmart, and honest.com. This episode is brought to you by Splash Refresher. Splash Refresher spices up my daily water intake by putting fun and hydration in one. Because as a mom, I already have my hands full. Every splash flavor is delicious, bright, flavorful, and 0 calories. I don't waste time on flavorless water I don't enjoy. I just drink Splash. and like it. So Tori, we're back here again. We're going to play dry side, wet side with Splash Refresher because I found more dry sides that I want you to give me a wet side to.
I mean, to be honest, that's kind of just part of being a mom, right? We're just constantly, everything is wet,
slightly sticky.
Yeah. Wet or sticky or somehow both.
It's both.
Yeah, for sure.
That's all right. That's the most disconcerting type of wet.
Yeah.
Some of you, if you have followed me for a long time, may remember that I had a betta fish and a snail.
I forgot about the betta fish and the snail.
So the betta fish ate the snail, just for the record.
R.I.P.
Elon Musk did not survive. Jeffrey Bezos, he held on for quite some time. Do you want to know what finally got Jeffrey Bezos?
Oh, no.
The kids, they went on a field trip to the aquarium. So when they got home, they wanted to give Jeffrey Bezos a field trip, but they couldn't take him to the aquarium. Oh, so they took him to the bathtub.
Oh, no.
Yep.
Oh, I'm sure that you only turned around for 30 seconds.
32, to be precise. I had the audacity to need to pee, and we have more than one bathroom in this house.
Mm. Oh, man.
Jeffrey Bezos took a bath.
R.I.P. Okay, there's a couple here. Learning opportunity. You got to have some tough conversations.
Cycle of life, kids.
I mean, they were thinking outside themselves. Being nice to animals.
Oh, rest in peace, Jeffrey Bezos. You took Elon Musk with you, so it's fine.
Oh, that's how do you follow that one up? Okay.
No pressure.
Okay.
I'm winning, by the way. We are not keeping score, but
this
I still
feel competition.
I feel like I'm winning this game. Okay, go.
Okay. Jeffrey wasn't, but so this last year, I did the extra mom thing and it was summertime and I was like, let's go on a picnic. Okay. And I got all of our sandwiches and snacks and drinks and I packed them all up and we went to one of our favorite parks. It was a beautiful day. And I was like, this is going to be so fun. And it was. And we got through the majority of our lunch. And then we got a sun shower unexpectedly. just downpoured.
It's the most Midwest thing you've ever said to me. A sun shower. The most Midwest thing I've ever done is knew exactly what a sun shower was.
Yeah.
For those of you who don't live in our areas, a sun shower is when it's perfectly sunny outside and somehow still downpouring.
Yeah. Yeah. The last time it happened, my kid was like, why is it sunny and raining outside? I said, it's sunny and raining. And I ran outside. She was real nervous, but I was rainbow hunting. And I found it too. Found it.
I love it.
Not that day at the picnic. We just had soggy chips.
Sun shower, soggy chips. And a picnic. Mm-hmm. You know what? Sun showers are typically harmless. So now you don't have to go to the splash pad because you already got that experience, kids.
Exactly. You know, got to ride home in wet clothes, but only one stop today, kids.
Okay. I have been spending a lot of time investing in myself. That looks like reading a lot more books. I used to read all the time and then I had kids and sort of got away from it. Like wasn't able to find the time, but in prioritizing myself, I've been reading more, but I told my husband, I thought privately, my fault.
Kids only hear you if you don't want them to hear you. Yeah.
I told my husband that I was like, I can't leave this book just laying around. I'm going to have to keep it. It's kind of a dirty book. And my kids can read now. And while I don't think they can read that, I don't want to risk it.
Right. Right.
Anyway, my kids heard me call it a dirty book. They took it to the sink to wash off the dirt.
You don't have to worry about them finding it now because you can't even read it. wet side is that we now know that your kids can, in fact, wash things in the sink. They do have that skill. They can't lie now.
I don't know how to do it. Yeah. What about mom's book? Do you not know how to do it when you wash mom's book?
Oh, man. Okay. So, you know that I love to bring my kids to the water park. Mm-hmm. And we love the pool. You ever have that moment? This is totally going to be relatable for everyone. Yeah. And you are trying to take a cute picture of your kids in the pool when someone ignored the pool rules and jumped in and splashed you.
Yep.
And your phone just soaked it. Just a you know, just a splash all over, just targeted.
Do you remember way back in the day when we used to have those phones and they had the water tab inside? So you could like look in like one of the tiny little holes and there was like a, it was either red or white. If it had been wet, it turned a color.
Back when we could take phones apart and just throw them in a bag of rice. Yeah, those were the days.
The wet side to this, I know full well you have an Apple and now you have proof that those are, in fact, water resistant.
Yeah, I was scared, but it did turn out okay. So
it's that stomach dropping feeling when like water hits your phone or it like it lands face down and you do that slow-mo pickup.
You wait a minute before you pick it up. Because
you're like,
I got to
mentally prepare myself for the screen to be shattered.
How bad is this? How bad is it going to be?
Like you got wet and you're looking at it. You're like, well, it's always going to look rainbowy now. It's a fun new feature.
Right. Did it get in the charge port? That's my concern. How long till I can plug it in? Cause I've killed my battery life.
Here's one. This happened last year. My teenager recently started driving. Mm-hmm. She has her driver's license now. And we had a car in our possession that we were able to do a little fixing up on. And she's got a car that gets her from point A to point B. And she loves this car. She has named it Lewis. And she babies this thing. I love to see it because she's not been like one with the pride of stuff. Like she would take care of it so it wouldn't get broken, but like she wouldn't go the extra mile. So I really love that she's investing herself into this car. Fantastic. Mm-hmm. I understand. So the teen was outside washing her car and she was using the hose and we have a power washer thing. She's using this and she looks over and in a moment of selflessness, she goes, "Mom's car is dirty too." So she just rotates in place and starts spraying my car down. Now, my car typically lives under the carport, which is where it still was, but I leave the sunroof open.
Oh, no.
Because I don't like it being 117,000 degrees inside the car. So I leave the sunroof open. It cools it down. Yeah, the sunroof was in fact open. She did not notice that until she turned the sprayer off and still heard drip, drip, drips. Still sounded like water was running because it was in the seal of my sunroof and dripping into the console of my car.
That's great. Okay. What side?
I don't own that car anymore. Would you like to guess why? Have fun finding the wet side on that. Ready, set, go.
Okay. No, I got it. Okay.
Okay.
Your teenager decided to do something nice for you without being prompted.
That's the whole thing.
That's the whole thing.
You lost the whole van, but she did something that she tried.
She was being really nice. She didn't have to do that. She shouldn't have done that, but she didn't have to do that, you know? Okay. Here's my dry side. Okay. You decided to make it a goal, okay? Mm-hmm. That you would stay better hydrated, but you can't remember the last time you had an actual sip of water. Like, I don't know if coffee counts towards hydration.
The wet side, we do know full well that splash refreshers count toward hydration. So splash is water, but with a hint of sweetness and fruitiness. You get all the benefits of hydration without all the boring. Hydration with flavor is still hydration with Splash Refresher.
And thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Why should you have to drink flavorless water? Make Splash Refresher your go-to hydrator and leave the sugary flavor packets and syrups behind. Available in 5 craveable flavors, it has zero sugar, zero calories, and a splash of sweetness for a hydrating and delicious beverage you'll come back to again and again. I absolutely love the Mandarin Orange Splash Refresher. It's so sweet and orangey, and I know that is in the name. It's an orange flavor, but I promise it just hits the spot. So consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
All right, that was our timer. Thanks so much for listening to Childproof from Betches Media. We want to hear from you so we can do another episode just like this one with more email roundups of your actual questions for Tori and I. Email us at childproof@betches.com.
And be sure to give us a follow. I am Tori Phantom in all the places, and she's Mama Cusses.
Tune in every Wednesday, everywhere you listen to your favorite podcasts, and don't forget to subscribe so you never miss an episode.
And leave us a rating. It really helps, and we really like reading them.
And remember, sometimes our kids are the assholes.
And sometimes it's us.
Childproof is produced by Rebecca Salzmacat. Editing by Rebecca Salzmacat. Social media by Lauren Salome. Guest booking by Allie Friedlander. Be sure to follow us at Betches Moms on Instagram and send your email to childproof@betches.com.
Thank you to our sponsor, Splash Refresher. Meet the water beverage that loves self-care as much as you. Just because you have to hydrate doesn't mean it has to be tasteless. Splash Refresher makes hydration deliciously easy, perfectly blending refreshing fruit flavors with just a little bit of sweetness, all with zero sugar and zero calories.
Available in 5 craveable flavors, there's a flavor for everyone to enjoy. My favorite flavor is the lemon.
The mandarin orange is my favorite flavor. Consider your hydrated self thriving. Find Splash Refresher today on Amazon and Instacart or at your local Walmart, Sam's Club, or Kroger.
Betches.